Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg, and you guys can check us out on the radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers. As I was halfway through that, I was thinking to myself, does Paul McCartney still own that song? At some point, he owned, I can't tell you how many college fight songs. They were all kind of bunched into this one publishing company. And that's how McCartney made a lot of his money. That's how he got Michael Jackson started on that. He says, man,
oh,
Mike
just
was like,
buying up.
Yeah. Mike, when they did that song, the story is Mike did that duet with him during the 80s. He went to Paul McCartney. He says, listen, how do I, you know, I got all this money. Where do you think I should put it at? McCartney's
Which
like,
ones? Is Say, Say, Say or The Girl
Yeah,
Is Mine?
Yeah. Say, Say, Say. One that they had LaToya on there, too. But
yeah,
LaToya was
on there.
He got advice from McCartney, and McCartney, to this day, even though Michael may rest in peace, he's still upset about it because he turned around and started buying up Beatles songs. And it, of course, we know he had the catalog until just a few years ago. But the college fight songs, maybe Notre Dame was, you know, much like conferences, they were kind of like out on their own. But it was like USC and UCLA and a number of big-time colleges were all under the umbrella of one particular publishing company, and McCartney bought it. And so
you just kind of said a lot. You said Notre Dame on their own.
Yeah, and that takes us to our conversation.
Doesn't it, though?
Well, it's not your average idiot you're dealing with here. I knew where I was going. it was sort of one of those announcements, or not announcements, but, you know, conversations that happened this past week that you knew it was there, but when you say it out loud, Notre Dame's on the outside looking in. But then when you continue the conversation, Sam, but they have one Trump card in their pocket.
Yeah.
They got a TV network that's going to follow them wherever they go.
Yep. And the ACC is going to play nicely with them since they're in that conference for practically everything else. And plus, whoever is either the winner in that conference, if they have the – I don't know if they have – I haven't checked the schedule to see if they play Clemson this year. But it adds validity to the top team in that conference to have had to have played Notre Dame, obviously, would help them. And one would help the other. Because, like I said earlier, what we're trying to do is get to the conference championship games and get to the postseason playoff. That's what we're trying to get to. A lot of bowl games probably fall by the wayside this year. We hope not all of them, but some may not fall by the wayside, but just not be played if not enough teams play college football this year.
All right.
But the major schools are trying to push through and get to that, you know, pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, if you will. You know, which is the playoff series and the championship.
So, you know, we talk about Notre Dame, and they're gonna miss out on the matchup with Wisconsin. That's the main one. That was going to be played, if I'm not mistaken, at Lambeau. They were going to play that one there. You got USC and then the Stanford. Those games, they're gone. But let's get away from Notre Dame for a second. And so as we talk about the decisions being made by the conferences, I'm only going to play conference games. Hasn't been confirmed in the SEC yet, but let's assume they all do that. Is there an opportunity? Because, see, for me, I'd rather have Georgia travel here to Atlanta to keep that Georgia-Georgia Tech game than getting on the road and going to a hot spot, if you will. to play a conference game.
Well, and it's also, you talk about there are a number of games like that within the Southeastern Conference and the ACC. You have your Florida State. You have, you know, the games. You have your South Carolina. You have your South Carolina Clemson.
You got your Auburn. You got your Iron Bowl.
Well, I mean, that's Auburn and Alabama.
No, but I get that. But
I'm talking about you have a number of, like Georgia and Georgia Tech, an ACC and an SEC team, is what I'm saying, you know, within the same state. So I'm just saying that's why people are wondering, is there some kind of way you can salvage those games, even though you want to play an all-conference schedule? And, it, you know, there are a number of matchups that would like to do that. I know you mentioned in the in-state thing, and that's, like I said, that's why we're watching this experiment in Florida to see if you can have, if the bubble can work. You can't do a bubble like that one for football. There's just too many people, and you can't do that. And but can you do a weekly bubble? Can you do a weekly bubble where that team comes to the town where they're going to play and they stay there for the week? You test them when they come in. They're going to work out and play. This is probably something the NFL might be able to do more so than college. Because if you're college, technically, you're supposed to go to class.
I was just going to ask you about that. Did you forget about that whole thing, higher education?
I haven't. But a lot of people do. A lot of people want to sweep that out the door. But that's the other part of it. But you maybe try to do a weekly bubble, where that team is in that same environment where they're going to play that week. If somebody tests early in the week, you set them outside of that bubble and you come back and check them later on in the week and see, all right, you tested negative now. Okay, you can play on Saturday or Sunday, whatever the place may be. That's a lot of doing to go through.
I don't think that's going to happen. I just because you're cramming it in.
Week after week, you know.
You saw how much they had to go through just for the NBA people and the reporters on the periphery from ESPN and other places, the timeline of them doing what they did. By the way, this casting call that I'm going to do during the show, I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to get this actress to come on and join us. Actually, it's Jillian who came on and gave us something a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
She's actually participating in a project, and I turned it down. I wasn't going because it was low budget, but I gotta have some assurances about some things. She's much younger, you know. She just won, and she was just happy to be a part of it because she's a hardcore actress. Okay, I'm not a hardcore actor. Okay, so she's taking most all opportunities. But I'm going to run down the timeline of the testing and what she had to go through just to go on set. All right. So bringing that back to what you were describing as far as implementing a bubble for college football and the hoops they got to jump through. I mean, I would, if that's going to be the case, if you know that one week you're playing outdoors against this team, next week you're going to go into this bubble, you got to start testing right after that last game. You know, you test it before you get up to, before you get on the bus to go home. We're going to take tests of you right now, and then I'm sure they will. I just don't know if 7 days is enough. I don't know. You know, but getting back to this,
and I think it's going to come down to your test. I think, and maybe the severity of it when it comes to these athletes. Last Sunday, Jimmy Johnson didn't drive. This week, he is driving. I think that's the thing is being retested and testing negative. If you had a severe case, if your case is severe, you're going to go sit out. You know, if you got symptoms, a la Freddie Freeman, you know, if you got symptoms, you going away, you're going to isolate for a minute. You know, you're just not playing for a couple of weeks, wherever we're playing.
Can we honestly compare what the decisions that are being made on the pro level to the college level? Because I think that's a whole different episode of Oprah when we talk about.
Like I said, you got to go to class.
Yeah, and so how is this going to play out? And by the way, you say go to class. You're assuming that things are going to be open. You know, you got universities talking about doing everything online. They're going to do it. They're going to, you know, you're going to be in virtual class virtually. This is going to make a noise over here. So we don't know, and we've already heard big time universities say if the kids aren't coming back to campus, we ain't playing the games. We're not doing them. Listen, I was reading something here at Sam and Greg, by the way, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All this conversation about college football and the possibility of it moving to spring. Now, we've heard from some of the top five conferences. Here's another perspective. The American Athletic Conference commissioner came out and said, we don't have much of an appetite for spring football. We're not confident that spring football, if we don't play in the fall, will even happen. He said, especially if there's no vaccine. We're not really sure if there's going to be compromised part of the 2021 season if we're playing in the spring. So there's, again, the collateral damage of moving this. And, of course, we already talked about the top players that will not be seen if they do move it to spring, because they got to get ready, because the NFL draft has said, hey, sorry, we're still having our deal in April.
There might be something else to get sacrificed this year. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but there's something else that might get sacrificed. That player who is on, you know, who knows this is going to be his last season playing collegiately, and he can go on and play in the NFL. For the guys who want that year back, obviously I know red shirts or whatever will be offered for those people, like they're doing some places where, for instance, like over at Morehouse, where they're not going to play this year, they're going to keep everybody's scholarship intact. You get to continue. But if there's somebody who's on that trajectory,
Trevor Lawrence,
to play at the professional level, yes, that's, you know, right, absolutely.
Not going.
So those are things happen. But I just think people got upset. People in this part of the world got upset this week when the folks up north decided, you know what, this is what we're going to do. And I can see it. I can understand it, Greg, because people say, well, okay, we know the Power Fives are going to do their thing, you know. But I think people are like, why don't they at least do it together? And I got a question. Why wouldn't they do that together? It's not like the commissioners don't know each other. It's not like they're not on the phone communicating.
Well,
and in other words, somebody said, there's no – and the NCAA got no say in it.
Okay.
The NCAA says nothing.
Here's why I don't think that
there's no supreme commissioner, there's no president, there's no high illustrious potentate, there's nobody out there that says, okay,
no grand poobah,
what happens, everybody can, no grand poobah, you can search high and low from his water buffalo, along those lines
of what you just suggested, as far as them getting together and making a decision, yep, collectively. Let me put you in a room with all five commissioners, and what do you think the conversation would have been if the Big Ten or the Pac-12 commissioner said to the SEC commissioner, we're not doing any games with you guys down there until you get rid of that Confederate flag? You see what I mean?
SEC made that decision on their own.
But if they were told that by another conference...
Confederate flag been gone from football games for a long time.
I'm talking about just flying it, and we just saw what happened at Ole Miss. Okay, I'm just saying if they had told I'm making a statement about what's gone. I'm talking about a tradition that was down here. If that were made, my point is that the conferences act individually for various reasons, and so for you to say they need to get together and make this decision, I understand what you're saying. I just don't think it's going to happen because they have their own beliefs about what should happen up in that area or out in the West Coast or whatever, and so I can see this, but. Listen, the SEC commissioners said that, in fact, I'm trying to read it here, you know, made a statement last week that there should be more clarity about the season.
They're all looking at it, and eventually they will all probably do that, but I think a lot of people say, well, why is the Big Ten dictating what everybody else does? And I think that's why a lot of people, you know, in our part of the world, we're resenting that coming out this week.
Well,
you know, they're kind of jumping the gun and being the ones out in front leading on it. And like I said, they can't even count. They say
you sound like me. You give me hell about this all the time. A, they didn't tell folks what to do. They made a decision on their own. Okay.
They must not have.
They made a decision on their own.
What kind of jobs do their math majors get coming out of them schools?
They get good ones, matter of fact. Okay.
I'm just saying.
So you go and have your gig. I know you want to just poke at the bear there, but I'm just they made a decision. Pac-12 made their own decision. They weren't influenced. And this speaks to my point. Certain conferences don't want to be told what to do. And they make their own decisions. Okay? And again, a lot of this
I'm saying the thing that is they're all going for the same goal, though, Greg. They're all going for the same goal. They're all trying to get to their conference championship games, and they're all trying to get to the bowl playoff series. They are trying to get the same thing.
Oh, I agree. So I agree with you
100%. Why couldn't they all announce that together is what I'm saying.
Yeah. What is not prominently displayed in the explanations as to how their decisions are being made, it's sort of kind of ducked in there, is that you kept bringing up the word science during the show. I don't hear that word being used as much as you think it should be used in the decisions that are being made. It's a whole lot of hope, and it's a whole lot of wait and see, and it's a whole lot of I think.
Other stuff. Yeah, but
this affects it all.
Yeah, but I think it is when it comes to the folks who are actually in the bubble. I think the science part has been mentioned very, very well.
No, there, yeah, but I'm talking about bringing football back.
Yeah.
And this, the reality of that.
Yeah.
That listen, there's so many tentacles to this. And I didn't get back to my point as far as why I brought up Auburn and Alabama.
People think they're going to be, well, a lot of people think they're going to be marching bands. They ain't going to be marching bands. You know what comes out of the bottom of instruments? You want your kids to, somebody slide a trombone over your kid's shoulder? No, man.
A friend of the show.
That's just not happening.
No, I agree. Hey, listen, you're preaching to the choir. A friend of the show and a guy who's co-hosted, John Bednarowski, Marietta Daily Journal, will be joining us next, talking Corky Kell and a professional team that was hanging out in his neighborhood this past week. And he's got a new book. John Bednarowski joining Sam and Greg next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you. Not nine floors up in the Kia Studios. Matter of fact, we ain't been there in a while.
Man, we ain't been there in so long. I was just thinking about the low walk we used to have going through the construction. Yeah. Last time we were up there, we saw a helicopter bringing in parts to the top, Colony Square. Just thinking about that dude who used to play piano, that kid who was playing piano out there.
Yeah.
That piano
right outside the Starbucks.
Yeah. Man.
They moved the Starbucks and the piano's gone and all that
stuff. Piano's gone. All of that's gone. Man.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Glad you're with us on this Sunday morning. Thanks so much for spending some of your Sunday morning. It was a beautiful day outside. Going to be hot once again. It has been hot, as I like to say, it has been fish grease hot this past week.
And I went out and cut the grass yesterday like a moron.
I did mine yesterday. Yeah. I got me a nice sweat in before it got too hot. But yeah, I got it in yesterday, man. So if you're gonna be out, hydrate if you're going out. That's just our advice to you anyway. And hydrate anyway, even because of the virus that's all around us.
Yes,
you should hydrate.
Yes.
Yes.
You want to bring our guest on?
Absolutely, man. Let's see. There's so many ways we can introduce this guy.
Yeah, we can. But let's do it the nice way.
Friend of the show. He is co-host of the show. Come on, he's sports editor of Marietta Daily Journal, and now author, award-winning sports editor.
Congratulations,
John Bednarowski. How you doing?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. What about yourselves?
We are healthy. We ask all our guests, and we ask you because we haven't talked to you in a minute, man. How you been making it through this craziness?
Well, I'm really getting sick and tired of looking at the four walls in my home office. But other than that, everything's fine. Everybody's healthy on our end. So, I'm starting to put together a 200-page high school football preview issue. So we're still cruising right along.
First thing I was going to ask you about. I was going to ask you about because when I think about you and headed toward school this time of year, we're usually counting down the days until that high school issue comes out. And, Greg, I think I've shown it to you before. It is very well done. Color photos, stories on the players, stories on the teams, their lineups, your rosters, and all information you could want.
Right.
And John and his crew always do a remarkable job with that each and every year. And I was just wondering, with everything up in the air and so many things in question, what are you doing? What are you writing about? Because that's the story if we get here or not, if we get to play or not.
Well, the way that we're doing it is obviously if we're not playing, team previews that we write are kind of, going to get tossed. But we're trying to make it so whatever feature stories and things like that we're doing – if we don't end up printing the preview issue, all of those stories can then be repopulated and run in the actual newspaper. So we've been very careful as how to go about picking some of these, and I think it's going to work out. You probably don't want to ask my opinion on whether I think we're going to play or not, because I've been accused of being a downer.
No, that's exactly what we're going to ask you.
I wrote a column, came out last week, saying it's time to make a call because we're getting too close. We need to know what we're doing. I don't see how you play football in the fall. Now, the NFL might be a little bit different. They can kind of self-isolate because they're in their team facilities for 14 hours a day, and that might still happen. College, it gets a little bit more risky because kids have to go to class and And, you know, they're in with the general population when it comes to the dorms and, you know, everything else. So, you know, that gets a little bit more risky. I don't see how you play high school football.
John, listen, don't feel bad about that, because we have had coaches on, we have had administrators on that have wondered the same thing aloud. So it's okay to feel that way. And listen, everywhere Sam and I go and we talk to people, actually, by the way, Sam, I can tell you we were in the barbershop. But again, the same question is asked. The same speculation is out there. They don't see how, in some cases, the NBA and some of the other sports, let alone how linemen are going to play football on whatever level. But my question to you is, because of who you are, because of where you work, do you get privy to meetings that are taking place with, I guess, on the high school level, administrators who are making the decisions, so you get this information, or at least you get a connection, you have a connection in there to find out what is being talked about and where, what direction these teams, high schools and programs are going?
Well, you know, everybody that I've talked to, and I hate to make it sound like this, it just seems like everybody's waiting for somebody else to make a decision. I think it's going to eventually come down to the governor. He's going to have to make the final call, because the GHSA says, well, we're going to follow all the guidelines and we're going to do whatever the governor tells us. And then, you know, all the coaches and everybody is saying, well, look, we're just following the GHSA guidelines and we're going to keep putting one foot in front of the other until they tell us to stop, which I completely understand. You got to be prepared. My big thing is with the high school kids, you know, they're going to have to go to class. They've already been told that there's not going to be social distancing, because you can't social distance when you've got 35 or 40 kids in a classroom. Everybody's going to have to, at Marietta, everybody's going to have to wear masks. Cobb County, it's going to be strongly encouraged. They're not going to force people to wear masks, but or students anyway, but it's going to be encouraged. My big thing is you're in that all day. Then you go to practice, and you're hitting guys and tackling guys, and you're playing games. And, you know, at some point, somebody's going to get it. And the thing that's most different between high school and college and pro, you don't have the money to test these kids. You know, you can take their temperature every day and all that, but, you know, if there's an outbreak, you can't test these kids every week before they go to play a game. And, you know, the big thing is a lot of the young kids are asymptomatic, but how many of them are going to go home and mom and dad might have some sort of underlying condition? Or, you know, you got a lot of high school kids that are still living with grandparents who are all in those risk areas. I just don't see how you play high school football.
John, and to folks who are spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with John Bednarowski, Marietta Daily Journal, award-winning sports editor and author. And we're talking about high school football and whether or not we're going to get fall sports. John, you wrote a very thoughtful column about the upcoming season in the fall, but you gave an example of a couple of sports that were rearranging their schedules and the possibility of playing the spring sports during the fall and shifting the fall sports to the spring. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think if you look at it, spring sports, you know, if it's okay to continue with sports, spring sports offer the most natural level of social distancing. You know, there are soccer coaches that will disagree with me on that, but that's more one-on-one as opposed to 11-on-11. You could take soccer and lacrosse, baseball, track and field, golf, tennis, and slow pitch softball. Those are the sports that are played in the spring, and move them to the fall for one off. They just missed their season, so let them play first, and then take our football, volleyball, fast pitch softball, in cross country, and now our new girls flag football, and move that to the spring. Mm-hmm. You know, that would give you the most opportunity for, you know, a potential vaccine that everybody's hoping comes by the end of the year, plus more time to try to get a few folks to actually wear a mask when they go out in public. You know, New Mexico became the first state this past week. They may try that. They've canceled their fall sports, being football and soccer, with the potential of playing them in the spring.
John Bednarowski joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I'm sorry, John, we're getting close to it. We got a couple questions we want to ask you about. But before we get to what took place in Marietta this past week with some pros, the next installment of the Corky Kell, if you had to guess, what's it going to look like and when will it take place?
Well, I'm pretty sure that if it's played, they'll end up moving it to high school campuses, because the Corky Kell, you know, it's a showcase, and it's supposed to be down in the in Mercedes-Benz, but I don't see you allowing fans in to watch it. So if it happens, I would think it would move to high school campuses. But again, I don't think it's played at all. I expect within the next 2 weeks to, college, we're having the ripple effect. I think it's going to work its way down into high school too.
That's what you're getting also at Kennesaw State. You're talking to anybody out of KSU?
The guys are out there doing the, voluntary workouts right now. They're having good participation. I know that, but, we're looking at, I think sometime this next week, they're supposed to report for the official workouts. They're, I think, a week or two away from after that of actually starting practice. So, again, they're moving ahead like everybody else until somebody tells them otherwise.
Yeah. John, before we let you go here, we got a couple of minutes. You sent us a little bit something. We're going to invite you back and get more into your book, because you got so many great articles that you've done over the years and so many great columns. I write about sports. Talk about it. It's out. And can people get it now?
Yeah, it's available right now. Easiest way to get it is on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, any of those websites. Punch that in, and they'll get it to you the fastest. I'm hoping to have it in the local bookstores here in a couple of weeks, because the books are on the way, but you can get one individually through Amazon faster than I can get them from the printer in Tennessee. So,
hey, John, also before we let you go, you had some Campbell High School had some millionaires out there playing a kids game this past week.
Yeah, Campbell High School had a large number of Atlanta Braves out there working out. I know Sean Newcomb and Mike Soroka and some of those guys have used the Spartans facility quite a lot here in the run up, and always nice to keep Cobb's team at the local Cobb hangouts.
Listen, first of all, congratulations again on the book. As Sam said, we will get you back and talk under hopefully better conditions. But first of all, I want to thank you for helping us out in the past and stepping in when Sam or I couldn't be a part of the show. And always we welcome you as a guest. And I just remember, Sam, the last time I saw John, we literally were in line at Walmart trying to pick up some stuff. I just looked over and I was like, that's Bednarowski over there trying to get some wipes or whatever, toilet paper or something. And I think he was successful.
Wipes.
Just whatever you need. I don't know if he's got his house, but I think you were successful buying whatever you needed, but it was getting crunch time around town. So.
Yes, that's true. But, nice thing about living out in the sticks like I do, it's easier to get stuff where I'm at than maybe downtown. So, you know, there's something to be said for that.
All right, you guys out there in the city, you know where to get your toilet paper, you know where to get your paper towels, and all your go out to the sticks and cut in line with John. Mr. Bednarowski, stay safe and enjoy the rest of your weekend, and thank you again for joining us, man. And, John, we look forward to seeing you hopefully sometime soon.
Sounds good, fellas. Thanks so much.
Yeah, man.
It's John
care.
Bednarowski joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio. Tonight again. Dude was in line, man, and he had a basket full of stuff.
Really?
I was actually kind of jealous, yeah, because he got there before me. Coming up next,
Found all the goodies.
Yeah, we're going to revisit the Falcons All-Decade Team. You're going to focus on the defense next, and I'm going to give you probably the first casting or industry call I have given in months. That's up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Oh, my mic's slipped down here again. Sam and Greg. Don't you hate that, the Scrunchup? Your mic stand.
Yikes.
I got a different mic stand this time. I haven't used it in a while.
Yeah.
And, well, that's my own problem. Anyway.
You're still making friends with that thing. I can hear you.
I need some 10W40
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, you try to make friends with that thing.
Be sure to check us out also on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. All right. So, Mr. Crenshaw, again, for those who weren't with us the first hour, you were invited to be a part of a group of people who were voting on the Falcons All-Decade Team, correct?
Yes. And that either means I'm held in high esteem or I'm just been around here a long time and I'm an old coot.
You said that. I did not say that. I would not. I'd call you other things, but I wouldn't call you an old coot. So the first hour, we talked about the special teams. Nah, man, I'm not.
Yes.
I'm not taking easy shots at you. No. You're not an old coot. You are an established member. You are a beloved established member of the Atlanta Media Society, and I would imagine a Hall of Famer. By the way, when are you going into the Georgia Broadcasting Hall of Fame?
Well, no, they ain't letting me in there. They showed me the boiler room.
No. Anyway, you're going to get in soon. You'll get in there. So we talked, like I said, last hour we talked about the special teams players. Now we are going to focus on the defensive side of the ball. And again, what they did, explain what they did to you. They sent you this breakdown of all the players that have played these positions throughout the decade, correct?
Throughout the decade, all the players in the different positions, of like some names just jump right out at you. And some names you're like, okay. You know, so, I mean, you have to remember some. And if you go through some of the names, you can say, okay, and you think about how the team did in certain years and certain categories, you say, that's why. So, yeah, think about that as you listen to some of the names.
Well, listen, we can't go through all of these on the defense.
You can't go all the names. You can't go through all of them right now.
So, defense, give me a position.
Let's start defensive end. We always talk about we don't have enough pass rush.
Okay, you got Claiborne, you got Brooks Reed, you got Irwin. I'm going to go with
them, but when you look at this list, you had a lot of guys who came to this team on the back end of their careers,
Osiomenura,
Dwight Freeney, some guys who've done their best. Then you had some guys like Ray Edwards that they invested a lot of money in, and he decided he didn't want to play football no more.
Right.
This guy just got here and decided he wanted to go box. And so, I mean, you had stuff like that happening, man, with this team. And you never got the consistency from a lot of these guys for your pass rush. So that's why, to me, John Abraham is the best of all of them in this list. You know, Abe showed up every week, the Predator. There was nobody else like him as far as a pass rusher during this decade or during his time here. But who was on the other side? If he's on one side, man, who are you putting on the other side?
Well, we picked Pierman earlier up for the special teams, as a matter of fact.
Yep.
Can't grab him again. You know, you got Chauncey Davis. I'm trying to remember him for something else that happened. But anyway, he's on the list. I don't know.
Because
that's always been the issue with this team.
Hey, guys. There's one name you guys are forgetting that you guys left out and led the league in sacks one year, and we have to put his name in there, Vic Beasley.
He is on the bottom here.
You have to talk about him. He led the league in sacks one year.
So. You just did. But an all day is what?
Just saying. I'm
you
just
did.
Saying.
You brought it in. But one but great that, but year.
That illustrates our problem.
But that looks at the problem. That is the problem there. But you have to even include him in the conversation because he did lead the league in sacks a season. And okay. He's the only person outside of Abrams. He's the only person that did it on that list.
All right, Vic Beasley. Let's move on. We got the two
in the middles.
Yeah, tackles.
All right, tackles.
Again, we got a dozen names here we could go through. Obviously, the first one we grab is Grady Jarrett. As far as I'm concerned, we grab that.
Vance Walker, absolutely.
Tyson Jackson, Tyler Davidson, Trey Lewis. Terrell McClain.
You got some guys who were good. Corey
Deontay
Peters
Pope. What do you want?
Good. Corey Peters.
Courtney Upshaw. Yeah.
But he's out there with the Cardinals. He's played and he's very good. But if I had to go out, I'd go Jonathan Babineau. Babineau over the period of time, you know, he was that kind of consistent, steady, just rock steady guy in the middle. You could always count on him. So I always liked Babs. So
moving to linebacker. Again, Dett, Curtis Lofton, DeAndre Campbell, you got Deion Jones. That's my pick. One of them. How many are we getting here? We getting three? We getting four? Which defense you could go with?
You get three for linebacker.
Okay. I'm going with Jones. I'm going with jump in anytime. Don't wait for me to give you mine because I'm looking for the list here. You've got the list in front of you.
Always like Curtis Lofton. And I thought he played very well. Of course, he ended up going down with the Saints, but I like Lofton's play. I would say Sean Witherspoon, we had a hard time keeping him healthy. The guy was just amazing, this amazing physical specimen with this energy and this personality that just lit up everything. But just had trouble keeping him healthy, man. Steven Nicholas was another one, and he was a great special team player as well.
What you got against Roger Campbell?
Huh?
What do you got?
Oh, nothing against
what do you got against Campbell? That's what I'm picking.
Nothing against Campbell.
That's what I'm going with. I liked him. Okay. If it was about popularity, I'd go with Duke Riley. But you know, I'm going with Campbell on that one. Okay. All right, let's move to corner. Again, this is the again. If you're just joining us, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Mr. Crenshaw was given the opportunity to help vote on the Falcons All Decade Team, and we've got the list here. And we're just kind of going through some of the names on the defensive side of the ball. And if
you have thoughts on us, give us a call, 404-741-0929, or text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Or hit me on my social media, at Sam Crenshaw 23 on Twitter. Let me know what you think. Go ahead with the corners.
I'm just saying,
this is hard.
Yeah, this, I mean.
This is hard.
I actually had to take a stop and go, wait a minute, Brent Grimes is on here. And, I mean, he made some noise, too. I like Brent Grimes, too. That's what I'm saying.
I like Grimes. I like Brent Grimes at 5'10", and you know, he looked like he was 5'0". Would come to every year he came to camp and had to fight his way onto the team. Every year it seemed like he had to fight his way onto the team or fight his way in the starting job. He'd end up starting, and he'd go out and play some great corner. And, you know, out of a small college, and he just had to earn it every year, and he did. So I got a lot of respect for that dude.
And safety, we'll go out with that.
We got a bunch of good ones there.
Yeah, Ken O'Neill, you got that. Ricardo Allen, you got Thomas DeCloud, you got William Moore, Zeke Mata.
You got Eric Coleman, our buddy who calls us.
Yeah, Eric Coleman.
Is it with us sometimes?
Dwight Lowry, Chris Hope, KZ.
William Moore. Was used to. You know about some guys that love to hit. You know, these are your dudes that hit back there in the secondary. And Neil is one. Otto, you know, Ricardo Allen. You got guys like that who are just greeters. But I'm a big fan of Willie Moe, man. I'm a big fan of his.
Ken O'Neill is my guy. I like him. But man, the way KZ hits, you just
like I said, this is a category. This is one of the stronger categories. You know, senior defense. We had some guys who would get it right back there.
Sam, is this a list, even though they can't vote on it, is this list available to the public? Can they go somewhere and see this?
No.
If not now, you think they'll put the names out there at some point?
No, maybe later, but no, it's not.
All right.
To my knowledge, it's not. Now, I haven't been through everything on the Falcons website, Just the idea of who's who. And Jahi's gotten real quiet on us over there.
Well, we got to do something else here in just a second. But again, we just want to run through the defensive here. We're going to get the offense coming up in the 9 o'clock hour as we wrap up the show. Because we got it next.
And the Falcons are going. And the Falcons will be unveiling that this month. Matter of fact, this coming week, I believe they're going to be unveiling who really makes it. So these are just people that we like, who we think deserve consideration. But they will unveil who actually made it this week.
All right. Listen, it has been a while since I, a mainstay with Sam and I, what we do on the show is give you an opportunity at some jobs. And it's been a long time since I've had a chance to do it. So, Jahi, hit it. Normally called casting call, the opportunity to do that and get booked on a set as an extra is not happening right now. The production is still, for the most part, shut down. But I want to remind you, and this is something that I talked about when I was doing the casting call regularly, is the behind-the-camera jobs. And there is a whole lot of not only classes, but job opportunities that are continuing to be posted. There's a lot of turnover that's going on during this time. A lot of folks could make it through the shutdown. So obviously there's productions and companies that are looking for people with certain skill sets. I don't know what all of them are. There's 100 people on a movie set. So they have every imaginable job needed to put together these productions. And so whatever your skill set is, chances are there's a need for it on a movie set. So I wanted to let you guys know that these things are ever changing. They haven't shut that part of it down. So what I did is I put it up on the website like I have done before. You go to 929thegame.com. You click on blogs. Let me go back here and make sure. Because I pulled it up. And yep, Sam, this is my first casting call since March.
Wow.
I haven't done one.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been I think it was March 11th, something like that. But it is up. I spent some time yesterday putting one together. My email address is there if you have any questions. The link to the Twitter page of the city, even though there aren't any streets shut down because of filming, but if there were, that's where you would go. But what I've done for you, I've given you a couple opportunities to kind of be connected to the industry. One is the behind the camera jobs. So that's going to start off at Georgia.org. And then I walk you through. You go to menu and then hit industries and then film and entertainment. And so I walk you through how to find the help wanted hotline. These are all crew jobs. The next thing I have on there is my guy who does voiceovers. He's not the gold standard. He is very, very good. He's been in this business a long time. He's approachable. He's very, very nice. He's accommodating. More importantly, he's patient. And that's what you need at this point. When you want to get started. Bill Seller. So I got Bill Seller voiceover on there. So hey, listen, he may not be for you, but I got his website and his email address up. So you want to go to that and check out. I mean, from soup to nuts, Bill will get you started and give you all the information you need. And last but not least, when the industry comes back, you folks, I got kids out there, you want to be ready to go. And so get that certificate from the Georgia Department of Labor. I have that link up there, too. So all minors have to have the certificate number. And I put it up again, and they're still issuing numbers. So, again, this is sort of an industry call more than a casting call. But that's still good. For those of you that are looking. I'm sorry?
Have they been issuing that certificate for kids even
as far as I know, pandemic? I don't think they shut that down.
They never stopped, huh?
No. I mean,
okay.
Listen, the industry's going to come back, so they're just preparing yourself, and that's what I want to do for you. But again, there's been a lot of turnover with the people behind the camera, behind-the-scenes jobs, administrative jobs. So they have listed a number of jobs. And when I've checked these last couple weeks, is you know, some one week it's more than the other. But you want to continue to check. Again, you go to Georgia.org. You start there. You go to menu, which is in the top right corner, and you scroll down. You hit industries and then film and entertainment, Georgia Film and TV Production. And by the way, there's also links which you will see as you scroll down to the help wanted hotline. There's still those links up to where if you want to put your farm up or you got some classic cars or you have animals that you would like to let the industry know that, hey, they're available if you want to rent. They give you those locations, too, so where you can put your information down. So, again, just wanted to kind of slowly get back into this myself. I'm going to tell you a quick little story next time we do this, probably in the 9 o'clock hour, about one of the actresses and what they had to go through just getting on set. And this was a small budget production. So that's coming up later on. And also I want to tell you about Patrick Ingram, Patrick Lamont. This is a guy who I'm very, very proud of. Coming up, though, in the 8 o'clock hour, We're going to talk Braves baseball next, but also talk a little NASCAR with Adam Alexander and our new and improved HBCU update. That's coming up. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.